Welcome to the Not in the Textbooks podcast. I'm your host, Audra, and I'll be sharing stories you've likely never learned in any of your textbooks. But before today's chapter, I need to clear up just a little bit of business. The views in these chapters are my own or my guest's own. They are meant for entertainment and educational purposes only. They do not reflect any connections to any employer of mine, my guests, now, in the past, or even in the future. If you need any medical treatments, advice, assistance, or care, please seek your own medical practitioners, not this podcast. Also, if I have a fellow healthcare provider, clinician, etc., member of the healthcare team, and we are discussing anything that has to do with healthcare stories, there are no HIPAA violations, or HIPAA violations, as we like to jokingly call them. We are not going to disclose personal healthcare information. We are going to change little tweaks in the story so that there's nothing identified. It's just for the education and entertainment factor. And most likely, things in the story have been changed so that you can't identify who the patient may be. So, on that note, I hope that you guys thoroughly enjoy the show. Thanks. Okay, today is 5/20 of 2023, and hello there.
Hi.
I have my friend Mandy with me. We are going to have some talk today about flipping the script on ourselves.
And yeah.
When another fellow nurse, but we're going to talk about some things about being a nurse that we don't ever think is going to come up, and yet here it comes. So, if you want to introduce yourself, and I know that normally when I sent the format, I was like, oh, good, bad, and ugly, but we've kind of switched that up a little bit. So okay. We've kind of, you know, if you have a good, bad, and ugly, I know you'd said you're feeling okay. We'll go with it. So you can tell me if you want to, or we can skip over it. You can introduce yourself and give a little background if you want.
Sure. Okay. My name is Mandy, and I have been a nurse for 7 years. I worked 3 years in med-surg and 3 years home health, and the last year I've been off on medical disability.
Which was never a part of the plan.
Never a part of the plan. No. Yeah. So last year, it was a year ago on the 6th of this month, mm-hmm. I had my right foot went numb. And occasionally I have some numbness in that foot anyways, because I shattered it years ago. That's a whole nother story. And I didn't think of it. I think anything of it. I worked that day. And then kind of like later in the day when I got home, I was like, oh my gosh, my foot's been numb all day. That's so weird. But I'm sure it'll be fine tomorrow. So I'm just gonna go to bed. So I went to bed next morning. Both feet were numb, and then up the backs of both my legs and my butt, everything was numb. And I was like, well, that's weird, but I'm still gonna go to work. So,
cause why wouldn't we? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, we put ourselves last, it's fine. So I went to work. I saw two patients instead of my four, cause I was doing starts. So I saw my two patients, then I dropped some labs at the hospital, and I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and go to the emergency room. There's like nobody here. I might as well just get checked out while I'm here. So I canceled my last patients. They were fine. And they did MRIs of my full spine, my brain, everything. They were looking for MS. They didn't find anything definitive on the scans. And so they just kept me overnight for some steroids, and nothing changed. Sent me home the next day. A week later, or I guess 10 days later, I was able to get in with neurology outpatient, and he thought I had Guillain-Barré. So he admitted me to the hospital for treatment of that with IVIG. We did MRIs again. We did a lumbar puncture. That came back with the lesion on my spinal cord, positive for a lesion on my spinal cord, and then positive for the antibodies for MS in my lumbar puncture. But they still weren't convinced it was that. So we just, you know, did tons more workup. I saw a neurosurgeon, and he was like, I really think this is MS. I think you need to go see an MS specialist. So I went to an MS specialist, got in with them in August of last year, and got diagnosed.
Mind you, 3 months later.
Right. So May to August, I finally get in with an MS specialist. They diagnosed me, and then they prescribed treatments. So they wanted me to do IV infusion of Ocrevus twice a year, which is you know, kind of the standard at this point for a lot of patients. Relapsing remitting MS is what they initially are diagnosing me with, mm-hmm. Until proven otherwise. And so I started treatment in October, and then I just had my last one. I guess it was the first of this month. So, and then I have repeat MRIs next month to kind of determine how the treatment's going.
Right.
So, I feel really good this week. So going to the good, bad, and ugly, I feel really great this week physically and everything. Mm-hmm. But then if we're going to talk about bad and ugly, I just started my summer semester of my master's program. So that's been a disaster. Plus we got a rescue dog. Macy's last day of preschool was this week. So it's just been a whole thing. And then our roof got totaled by the hail, and now we have a leak in our living room. So now we're just waiting for our roof to get replaced. A lovely week.
Yes, it sounds like it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And not only are they going to have to fix the roof, now they're going to have to fix all that stuff with the leak. Yeah. Great times.
Fun times.
So, okay. So let's pretend like we're both not nurses. Guillain-Barré, well, we kind of have to pretend like we're nurses. So it's like Guillain-Barré. So did you get a vac? Usually that's a reaction response to like a vaccine or
a virus
or something.
Which MS is known to be activated by that as well. So we had all had a stomach bug right before this happened. Like, mm-hmm. a week before this happened. And so they just assumed that it was probably that. And obviously with Guillain-Barré being so severe and quick moving and debilitating, they were like, we are going to do IVIG right now.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. I had no improvement.
Right. And that would, if somebody had Guillain-Barré, it is fast moving. You end up, you know, start
paralyzed completely, your lungs shut down, everything.
Yeah. Your diaphragm, you can't breathe. It's a big deal. Right. And that wouldn't, just to be clear, it happens rarely with flu shots because there's some micro units of live virus in there, but the COVID vaccine, that would not do that because it doesn't have that, it doesn't work that way. So just to clear up.
And I haven't had one. So, and I never even got any boosters. So I had my initial vaccinations when they were required, and then I never had any boosters.
So. Yeah. So, okay. So we're just going to clear that up.
Right.
And then, so relapsing remitting versus what other type of MS?
So there is, primary progressive, secondary progressive, relapsing remitting, and then what they call I can't remember. My brain. That's part of the MS too. You just can't remember shit.
Can't remember anything. So go back and do your master's degree. Yeah, do that because you're not
going to remember. Yes, cuz you can't remember anything. So you might as well try. It's so much fun.
Oh gosh. And so doing your master's, are you doing that so that you'll maybe be able to teach or?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's the goal now. So funny. Graduated, like I said, 7 years ago with my, 7.5 years ago, with my RN, and I just got an associate's, and I had absolutely no desire to go back to school. Cause when I got done, I was like, that was enough torture. I'm done.
It's the worst.
I have no desire to get my bachelor's. I am never going to be a nurse practitioner. I say that my mom's a nurse practitioner. So everyone's like, why aren't you doing that? Cause I don't want to. I am totally happy with bedside nursing. So anyway, that was the plan. And then, this happened and I was like, I've always really enjoyed teaching. I liked taking new nurses at the hospital, mm-hmm. and all that. So orienting them. Why not teach?
Exactly. Yeah. It is something that can be done. So bedside nursing, not an option now for you.
No. Right.
And how did you cope with that realization? Was that like in steps or all at once or?
Well, at first when all this happened, so I will go back to say, eventually I was numb from the waist down, not flaccid, not paralyzed, but just numb. Like I can walk, but I can't necessarily feel the floor. I can't feel if the ground is hot. I can't feel if the ground is cold. I can't feel those things. I have gotten some of that sensation back. My feet are still numb. And there are certain areas on like the tops of my feet and certain areas on my legs and stuff where I can't really feel everything. I can't feel temperature completely. But well enough that I can walk pretty comfortably. But I, at first when all this was happening and I was numb, I was like, well, I mean, I can barely walk. There's no way that I can go back to work, especially right now. And so it was kind of just like this wait and see thing just constantly. So it's like, you know, every couple of weeks or monthly, we're just going to see where I'm at, see where I'm at, see where I'm at. Everything started coming back slowly. It's been a year now. And they said that typically, a year from your, lesion is where they kind of determine where you're going to be forever, kind of. So, I mean, at this point, I'm probably not going to get all that feeling back. The likelihood is not there. But you know, it's still better. So I did have some improvement once all the inflammation and everything went down. I did have some improvement, but, so it's literally just been like a wait and see game. Like, is that going to get better? Is it not going to get better? Am I going to get stronger? Am I going to get weaker? My balance is off. Like, I fall down more than I'd like to admit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just been kind of a crazy thing. I shake so much. And that was one of the things too, that I was talking to my doctor about. Like, I couldn't draw blood. I couldn't like place an IV. My hands shake so bad sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And you just never know how you're going to feel when you wake up in the morning. So
yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't hold down a job because I would be calling in so much because I just couldn't physically do it.
Yeah. And you require a very good self-care routine, which nursing is not conducive to self-care.
Right. I can't take a nap every single day when I'm working, like, and I have to get through the day.
Yeah.
Especially right before my infusions. Like, I never imagined how much fatigue that would come along with this. Mm-hmm. You know, you when you're a nurse, you're like, oh my gosh, I've never been so tired as I am as a nurse. And then you're a parent and you're like, oh my gosh, I've never been so tired as I am as a parent. Now I'm a parent and a nurse. Like, oh my gosh, I've never been this tired. And then, you know, people talk about like fatigue and you think, well, I mean, I'm a mom and a nurse. I get it. No.
No, you don't.
You don't get it until you have this condition where literally you're exhausted all the time.
Yeah. From every cell of your being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's an incomprehensible, like, for someone who's not going through it, it's incomprehensible type of a fatigue.
Right.
So, so nursing has its benefits because we're great at advocating and asking a whole bunch of questions and like, okay, so why isn't this different? Well, what do you mean? Why do you want more tests? Those kind of things. Also terrifying because you had a lesion on your spine and they're like, we're not convinced. And you're like, dear God, do I have like spinal cord cancer or
exactly. Yes.
You know, you start going down the rabbit hole of things that you wish you didn't know.
Yeah. That was, me and Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Constantly texting back and forth. Like, this might be a tumor. It could be a vascular tumor. It could be a cancerous tumor. It could be a lesion from MS, whatever. And that's the thing too. They weren't convinced because it was so large and so non-MS like
appearing.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, typically, of course, MS is not typical, but the typical, quote unquote, typical MS lesions are one-sided. So it'll be like on one side of your spinal cord. So you'd have, you know, worse symptoms on one side than the other, or just symptoms on one side or the other. Mine was almost a full, like transverse,
midline type thing. Like it was across the whole thing, like on both sides. Yeah.
I was a little bit worse on the right side, and the right side is what started. But I had basically the same on both sides. Transverse myelitis. Sorry. That was the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Basically I had transverse myelitis and you know, they didn't know what it was from.
Right. Right.
So, but then, you know, when I had my repeat, I had, additional MRIs, before my appointment with the MS specialist. So in August I had MRIs again, because we were still not sure if I was having anything additional, which at that point they said that I do have a lesion on my brain, but they're not, they can't rule that it's an MS type lesion. And even the MS specialist said it's not, lighting up under the dye, and so I can't really say that it's that. And sometimes people just get headaches a lot and they just have like a small lesion on the brain because they get headaches a lot. I'm like, well, whatever. I've never been one that gets headaches all the time, and I have been getting headaches, or I had been getting headaches a lot at that point, and so I'm not convinced that it wasn't an MS lesion. But anyway, when I had that repeat MRIs in August, that lesion that I had on my thoracic spinal cord was no longer lighting up under the dye. So that told us that it was not something cancerous. Thank God.
Which kind of goes,
so that kind of gave us a more definitive
evidence, you know, answer. Like evidence that this is,
and they drew blood on like every possible like differential diagnosis, sent stuff to Mayo Clinic. I mean, it was just a constant, and nothing came back positive. Nothing else came back positive. So it's, I mean, it's,
it is what it is. Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So tell me about the treatment, the Ocrevus. What's that medication? What's it like? What's the, you know, side effects and things?
Ocrevus is just one of the many disease modifiers is what they call it. So, you know, immunosuppressants, whatever, a lot of people call them that, whatever. And they are immunosuppressants, but not the, you know, same type of like cancer immunosuppressants.
Right. But it's more of that this type DMARD, like a DMARD class. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So they call it disease modifier. It targets my immune system's B cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just decreases, you know, your inflammatory response from your B cells. So you get an IV infusion. The first infusion, they split it in half. And so you get a half a dose. 2 weeks later, you get the other half a dose, just to make sure you're not going to have like any sort of reaction and make sure you can tolerate it, all of those things. And then you have it after that, you have it every 6 months, like a full dose every 6 months. So my first half dose infusion went really well. You go in, they start an IV on you in this outpatient, this infusion suite. They give you Tylenol, they give you 50 milligrams of Benadryl, and then they give you IV steroid also, all prior to it. You wait 30 minutes and you get it just to make sure, you know, you're not going to have a just huge reaction to this medication. I didn't feel anything really, and I actually didn't even get tired. And I think because I was so like anxious about it, I didn't even get tired during that first infusion. I think I was there for like 2 or 3 hours the first time. And then the second time, I did get tired. I took a little nap. Most of the patients in there, we just, you take a blanket in there and take a nap.
Yep. Yep.
Break from the kids. Go home, go get a nap.
Good night.
So, second time went really well. I felt okay for a couple of days, and then I felt like I just got hit by a train. They say that, flu-like symptoms, body aches, just general, not great feeling for, you know, a few days to a week after is common. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that was pretty accurate that time. I had a really, really bad headache and some itching, in the evening afterwards, but otherwise I felt pretty good. And then I had my first full dose on the first of this month, and that was, infusion was fine. I was a little itchy during the infusion. I took another nap because that Benadryl just hit me hard, which no shame.
Nope.
And it was like, I think I was there for about 3 hours. And they did a really quick infusion, and I'm not sure if that caused me to react to it or what.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the worst body aches that night. And then the next morning, my stomach hurt so bad, I ended up in the emergency room.
Oh no.
Upper abdominal pain. I was super bloated. I'm pretty sure I got colitis, which when I looked back at the Ocrevus, warning label, it said that they just added colitis as a common, effect of the medication. And so I was like, this has to be like, other than it was up high in my stomach, I feel like maybe I had even like gastroenteritis, who knows? I was so bloated and in so much pain. I have never felt that pain in my life. I was in tears and shaking in the emergency room. I probably looked like I was coming off of drugs.
You're like, I swear I'm not.
I was like, I had this infusion yesterday and I am so sick. Like, I cannot even handle the pain that I'm having. So anyways, I spent, you know, hours in the emergency room. They did, all they did was an ultrasound of my abdomen. But they did find that I had, some liver enlargement, which was unusual. So I don't know what that's about. We'll have to go back and investigate that later, but
yeah.
Otherwise everything looked fine. So, yeah. And I was so in so much pain and just out of it once they gave me any pain medicine that I didn't even think to ask for a CT, which would have been my first thought.
Usually when you go to the ER, that's the first thing they're like, welcome to the emergency room.
You'd think, let's do a CT. No, they did. I think she really thought it was my gallbladder though. And so that's why, she did the ultrasound. But anyways, it is what it is. If I have an infusion reaction again like that, I'll just go to Mercy and be like, CT scan my belly. Because, you know, Mercy is like, hey, let's CT scan everybody. Let's do it. And of course I went to Saints. And so they were like, oh, I think it's your gallbladder. Let's ultrasound. I should have just said, okay, let's get me a CT instead, just to cover bases here. But
exactly. Yeah. Just
anyways. For fun. Yeah. They gave me some medicine. I felt better that night. And then, you know, the next few days it kind of progressively got better. So
that's good. That's good. So what is it like being the nurse and the patient now? Cause it's not like you can just turn your nurse brain off. Like,
right.
You know, so, you know, you see when you're visiting people, whenever I'm visiting people in like the infusion clinic and watching and seeing, and I'm like, that's not sterile anymore. Like, you know, you do those things just, and you have to let it go. You know, you just sort of like, I see you and, you know, you move on. So how's that been?
Honestly, it's been pretty good. And I'm not that patient that the second I get there, I'm like, I'm a nurse. Okay.
Oh, God, you know, no. I'm like, please don't.
I am one of those people that I won't hide it from you. You know, if it casually comes up in conversation, fine. But I'm not the first one that's like, excuse me, I'm a nurse and I'm going to critique everything that you do. I'm like, I'm a nurse. I'll say, I'm a nurse. I get it. Just do your thing. Like,
do your thing. Exactly. Your thing. And I mean,
I will be your easiest patient. I will do everything for myself that I can.
Right.
You know, I get an air in the line in my IV. I'll fix it. Like, don't even worry.
Don't worry about it. Yep. Exactly. Fine. Like, I'll just
and do your thing. I will ask if I absolutely need something. Otherwise, I will not ask for anything. Like, I'm just
exactly. Yeah.
It's been pretty good. You know, most of the nurses that I've had, they knew I was a nurse because it had come up, or they say something and I'll say something back and they're like, okay, clearly you are a nurse or something, you know?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
we speak the language.
We speak the language and they're like, okay, you're definitely a nurse. So
yeah.
Most of it's been pretty good. I haven't had any like, you know, overt, like unsterile.
No. And when I say that, it's like that. You know,
but you know, okay. So I don't want to say that. I won't specify what nurses are kind of known for not being sterile, but there are nurses that, you know, aren't sterile.
Right.
Because they're quick and they're trying to do things fast and all of that stuff. So, in those kind of trauma situations, you know, those kind of nurses, a lot of times don't scrub the hub before they give you an IV.
Right. Medication. Like,
but pretty much every time that I have been anywhere, they've been really good. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are certain things that happen where you're just like, so what? You know what I mean?
That's the least of my worries right now.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. But also,
and I know that I'm clean. Yes, I probably have some microbes on me like everybody else does, but it's not like I'm worried about, you know, E. coli getting in my IV line or something.
Exactly. I mean? Yeah. Exactly. I do wash my hands after I go to the bathroom.
I do wash my hands.
Yeah. Yes. And it's those kinds of things that you see and that you know, and that you know happens and all of that stuff that sometimes it can, you know, you just have to, I don't care. Like when I was I've been in and out of the hospital, you know, I've had one was outpatient, two were inpatient. At a certain point, you're just like, look, I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk. I'm going to do the things that we have to do. Like, I don't care. I'm literally going to keep my eyes closed while you're doing what you're doing with my IV. Cause I could care less. Like, honestly.
Right. Unless you just come in and you give me like unsafe nurse vibes.
Right.
I'm just not, I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah. And there are certain times where that may happen. I've never experienced it in my times of being the patient, but it is a different feel. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, when my dad's been a patient, I've been there and I'm talking to people and we're just, I'm asking questions and things like that. And he'll go, "She's a nurse." And I'm like,
right.
Because
I'm not trying to be a know-it-all, and I'm not trying to make people nervous, or I'm not that person.
But you did say that the thing that I'm concerned about is, you said you wanted him to, you're starting him on Brilinta, and I just need you to know that he's taking Advil twice a day. And is it okay? Like, I just need him to be, you said you were going to give him a beta blocker and no one started it yet. Like, that's what I wanted. Like, which one?
Right.
And does it interact with any of his other meds? You know, like, that's all I want to know. I'm just asking questions. I'm not
I'm just looking for safety. I'm not trying to do your job for you.
Yeah, just don't want my dad to bleed out. That's all I'm saying. Right.
I'd prefer that he didn't.
I'd prefer.
It'd be nice if he did.
Yeah, it'd be good. You know, it's that kind of thing. So it's like, you know, while we have a little bit of knowledge, more so than, like, my dad was like, "No, he said he was going to start it." I'm like, he never wrote the script. He never put the order in.
Right.
And if he walked out and told someone at the nurse's station, they forgot. Like, because we know this stuff happens. Like, this is what happens in a busy place. And so we can't help it. I can't help it. You know, and I'm not, again, it's not like, it's just like, when can he golf? Also about the Aleve, can he take that with that Brilinta, or is that a no-go, and are you going to give him something else for his daily, like, inflammation pain? You know, it's no big deal, and the doctors, but my dad had to be like, "She's a nurse," and I'm like, stop. I know you're proud of me, but don't tell people. Like, not here. You could tell people out on the golf course, but not in this building.
Right.
And I think, you know, most of us are kind of that way. And we all know why we're that way, because the one that's like, "I'm a nurse," and then you ask more and they're a CNA. Like,
that's exactly what I was going to say. Exactly. Exactly. And they're a medical assistant.
Right. And you're like, "Oh, really? Where?" And then, "Oh, well, what do you do there? You know, are you the..."
Or, I'm a nursing student.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. That's great. I'm glad you have medical knowledge.
Record this ad real quick, okay?
Okay.
Do it.
Mom, here we go for your ad and action.
Thank you so much, Director Jordan. So I cracked open the Magic Mind this morning, July 3rd, 2023, and I did make sure it was cold. I think that makes it better. It tastes different. I was expecting the cut grass dirt taste this time around. I had more of a matcha green tea taste. It does have a cumulative effect over a few days, as I recall from the last time, so I'll let you know midway through here, but the taste is pretty good. I always like the ingredients that are in there. You know, the matcha tea always has great antioxidant impacts and all of that. So don't forget, 14 Days of Magic. We are doing our thing this next 2 weeks. If you saw my TikTok and the Instagram page, you already know we have kicked it off. And my goal is to get back into the habit after shoulder surgery, get back in that habit of getting out there and walking. So it's never too late. Order yours. Discount code TEXTBOOKS14. All right, y'all. See you in the stacks and continue on with the chapter. And so what would you say, you know, as the nurse and now the patient, and of course, then you do the deep dive into MS, because we all know the blanket information, but you've got to go do the deep dive. Like,
oh yeah, research databases.
I was going to say, how much Medscape have you read?
Oh, you know what's been great though, is I've been, well, of course I wasn't a student at that point in time, but as soon as I had access to our libraries.
You have the whole access. I'm just telling you, you have... Oh, when I was in school, when I went back for my bachelor's, and I was like, they did the worst thing ever. They gave me the access to all the databases that ever existed in the history of ever. I was looking
now
up.
Now we get to be really psycho.
Oh my God, was I nuts.
And it's awesome.
It is. I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd started doing my schoolwork. And somewhere along the line, my ADHD brain went like flipped. Oh, yes. And oh, yes. I was down a rabbit hole looking up these studies until, and then it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Something, but that's okay.
I mean, that's better than a TikTok rabbit hole, right?
I mean,
it's more informative.
It is. Maybe.
Sometimes TikTok. Yeah, sometimes TikTok teaches us a lot.
It does. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, depends on which subject matter you're looking at. But yes, it for work related reasons. But I was like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So how deep into the MS rabbit hole of database? How was
all
that?
All the things. Well, I mean, and initially it was what. Okay, so let's look at all the options that this could be before we had the MS diagnosis. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this could be, and I'm texting my husband, which I should not do because he's non-medical, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's just like,
terrified.
Oh, absolutely. I'm like, okay, so if this, because they even brought up that this could be spinal cord lymphoma. So I'm like, okay, we're going to look up spinal cord lymphoma. So I'm looking that up. 5-year survival rate is like nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so I probably have 5 years.
I could die.
And unless, he's just like, yeah. He's like, no, well, we can't do this, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, he, poor thing, he got to listen to all that. But Rachel got the majority of that.
Yeah, because we weirdly could become clinically detached from ourselves. Like we talk about our clinical diagnoses as if we're not talking about our own bodies. But
oh, yeah, it's totally fine because it's me.
Yeah.
If it was my husband or my mom or my kids, it's not fine. If it's me, it's totally fine.
Totally fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
yeah, no, I've read all the things. I follow all these like MS influencers and an MS specific physical therapist. I freaking love her. All the things.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to be.
And then, yeah, then I was looking like on the research database for like the medications and all these things. And then so I've been going to the MS Center at Oklahoma Medical Research Foundation, which is fabulous, by the way.
Oh, OMRF is amazing. Yeah.
And so we switch appointments between the doctor and the PA. And I saw the PA this last time in February for my follow-up. And he was phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. Awesome. Just giving me all the research information that he's seen lately and all of these things and telling me all this stuff. And it was just amazing. I was just like, oh my gosh, I learned so much from this appointment that I didn't even know. So it's mm-hmm. So Ocrevus depletes your B cells, right? Well, mm-hmm. B cells are what gives you your antibodies for COVID.
Oh God.
So I make no antibodies for COVID.
Oh, good.
And so vaccines are pointless. Mm-hmm. Which is great because I don't want to take any more COVID vaccines anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know.
I never got my boosters, which it wouldn't have mattered anyways because whatever.
They would be gone.
But apparently also, you know, because of that, we are susceptible to repeat COVID infections that, you know, result oftentimes in hospitalization. So that was kind of scary to find out. But thank God COVID, all the COVID strains now are just like, you know, these baby strains.
Yeah. Pretty mild. Yeah. Lower. Yeah.
I actually got COVID in between my first two split doses. Mm. And I told him that and he was like, oh my gosh, they still gave you your second dose. And I said, yeah. And he's like, oh, that's surprising. He's like, you didn't have any complications. And I was like, no, I didn't. I mean, it wasn't really that bad. Mm-hmm. I've had flu. I've had pneumonia. That was worse than when I got COVID. So, but I can get COVID frequently. So of course, you know, I'm being careful and I'm masking when I go to, you know, places where there's a lot of people. If I go to church, I go to a concert, that kind of stuff, I'm masking. I probably should be masking in the grocery store and stuff too, but I don't get close to people. I'm just not like I'm not a close proximity person. I don't like crowded areas. I don't want to say like, I'm not like
agoraphobic or anything, but you do. You just have a larger personal space distance.
I have a personal space. Like I, you know, I'll hug my friends, my family, that kind of stuff. But I don't like being close to other people really. And I don't mm-hmm. like being in public crowded places. I've just never been into crowds and all that stuff. So I just avoid it.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't remember where we were going with that to begin with.
No, just the learning and the research and all the information and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been really interesting. Just learning all the things about the infusions and all that. Mm-hmm. So
So what would you say your biggest like thing that you had not expected from having MS, or one of the big things, because I'm sure there's more than a million that were like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't expect that to be a thing.
Right. So I'd say two things. Number one, the fatigue, like we talked about. I just had absolutely no idea. And that was one of the other things. I'm going to split off for a second. So with the Ocrevus, they say that in between infusions, when you're like a month out from your next infusion, it kind of just wears off and people feel like crap. So they call it the crap gap. Oh. And so thankfully, the PA warned me about that because I had never heard of that. And then, of course, I start seeing all these people posting about it that I followed afterwards. And I was like, oh, I'm glad he told me what that was, because I would have had no idea. I felt like absolute crap, mm-hmm. worthless for probably about 4 or 5 weeks before my infusion, to where like I couldn't make it through the day without a nap. I couldn't function. I couldn't pick up the house. I couldn't hardly make dinner. I could do nothing. Mm-hmm. And that was just one of the things. So the absolute intense fatigue that comes in that small window between infusions was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I'd say is just the not knowing what you're going to get when you wake up. Like, you just don't know, you know, if you're going to be exhausted today, or if you're going to be hurting today, or have more nerve pain, or more weakness or numbness, or just these random things. And like, you know, we don't know if I have any other lesions, because we haven't checked since August or whatever.
Right.
But I get like numbness now in my left shoulder, and it goes down my arm, and then my fingers tingle and all these things. And it's like, you know, from a nursing standpoint, from a physical standpoint, from what we can see on the MRIs, I think that I shouldn't be having these symptoms, right? Like, mm-hmm. I shouldn't be having that. Or if my lesion on my spinal cord is getting better, you'd think that I wouldn't continue to have this numbness. But it literally is just so many little aspects that change how you feel during the day. And so, you know, your body is working overtime to try to fix these nerves that are damaged. So that's part of the fatigue.
Yeah.
And then sometimes your body just kind of picks at those lesions too. So that's why you start feeling a little bit worse one day and then a little better the next day, because sometimes your body like is just picking at it like a scab, and you just have this scar tissue now on your spinal cord, and your body's like, well, that's not supposed to be there. So I'm just going to keep kind of trying to pick at it. And when you're on the disease modifiers, it lessens that. So you don't have a lot of that, but you still have just changing symptoms every day.
Yeah.
Like, my feet are still numb, but sometimes they are numb and they tingle so bad that I can't stand it, that it hurts. Or I'll have like sharp nerve pains in one side of my foot all day long. And you just never know.
Yeah.
Never know.
Yeah.
Never know how you're going to feel. You'd think that it's going to be this consistent thing that if my legs are numb today, they're going to be numb tomorrow. My feet are numb today, they're going to be numb tomorrow. And I mean, my feet have not changed. They're still numb. But I mean, if I'm having this sharp pain today, am I going to have it tomorrow? You just don't know.
Don't know. Yeah. And you have to just wake up and take what you have and just roll with it. Just figure out how to roll with it. Yep. And some days you're just not as emotional. I would imagine you're not as emotionally equipped to roll with it as well as other days, where you're just like,
oh yeah, the anxiety is insane. They say that the anxiety and depression rates in MS patients is higher than cancer patients.
It would make sense.
Because you don't know what you're going to get.
And
it's not like this definitive, like, I mean, and I know I have no room to talk on a cancer patient, right? Because I don't have it. But, you know, I would assume that with a cancer, you know your diagnosis, you know the treatment and what that entails.
Mm-hmm.
And MS, you know what you have, you know what your treatment right now entails. But if you don't do well with your treatment, then we're going to have to change to something else. And that's the other thing, is the constant having to change between different things because of the like PMI risks. So that brain inflammation risk that you get with certain medications. So, and that was the other thing too. I had no idea. So they check for JC virus. And so if you ever talk to somebody that has MS, you know, they're constantly having JC virus tests when they're on certain medications, because it increases that risk, not PMI, PML, sorry,
mm-hmm.
Of the brain inflammation. And so certain medications cause they say cause higher risks of it. Supposedly Ocrevus only had like 3 people get that brain inflammation. They were on other drugs before they started the Ocrevus, so it's not really associated with it. But there is a risk for breast cancer with Ocrevus, and so, you know, that's just a constant
shit.
Something.
It's just shit.
Constant. So it's like MRIs constantly, you know, every six months or more, depending on if you're having more symptoms, and then high dose steroid treatment if you're having symptoms, which is just a whole nother thing. Oh my gosh, they're awful.
Yeah.
Which we thought I was having maybe a flare, and so we did 1,000 milligrams of prednisone a day.
No.
For 3 days. Yes.
How do you even tolerate 1,000? Were you like a crackhead? Did you eat everything and rage like a lunatic?
I raged and I had the worst hot flashes ever. And then I felt like I had the worst body aches ever. And apparently just body aches just affect me with everything. Because when I had IVIG, I had the worst body aches then too. And you're not supposed to. You're supposed to have like good, you know, you're supposed to feel good after
great.
IVIG.
Yeah. Usually, I was going to say, usually prednisone makes you feel great until it wears off. And then you're like, everything hurts. Right. But yeah.
So everything gives me body aches. So go figure. But No, yeah, that was a whole nother thing. But anyway, oh, I mean,
God, and your blood
25,
sugar,
your 25 blood? Prednisone tablets for 3 days.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Or wait a couple of days to try to get home IV steroid or, you know, outpatient IV steroid ordered.
Still the same
possibly
result.
Possibly not have insurance cover it completely, have to pay more out of pocket.
No.
And have to wait several days and hope that your symptoms don't get worse in that amount of time.
No. No, thank
you. So that's why I chose the oral, but I wouldn't do it again.
You're like, no. And definitely that had not. To spike your blood sugar even.
Oh, I'm sure.
Had
I don't
to.
Trust them. Yeah. Thank God I didn't check it. I'm sure it was insane.
Yeah. But. Don't start. Don't do it.
But I run relatively low. I mean, I don't have diabetes. My family has a history of diabetes, but I tend to run kind of low anyway. And so there's no telling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it's that game that we all play, because I mean, I know that I had, not that they're the same, but you know, we're nurses and our brains work similarly, you know, where it's like, okay, I have this going on with my gut. And then, you know, you play the game of like, okay, well, I had this symptom. It's almost like we do this mental, if we don't literally write it down, because sometimes I would put it in a symptom tracker, you know, like I would have this symptom and then I'd ate and drank all these things. And was that a trigger for this? Or
yes,
because sometimes
we're looking for cause for everything,
you know, and it's like
underlying cause for everything.
It's like, okay, well, I know that some days I feel this way and some days I feel this way. Is it something that I did, or is it just the MS, or is it just that I didn't sleep as well? I didn't sleep as well. Well, is that because of the MS, or is it because I did?
Yeah.
What?
I know. Or is it the medication, or is it whatever? Oh yeah. Constantly.
Or is it the
weather? Actually, my husband and I just have this running joke that anytime I do something stupid, that it's the MS.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't remember what I was going to do, or I can't remember what I was saying, or I did something really dumb, or I put something in the fridge that didn't belong there or something. I'm like, it's the MS.
It's always the MS. So, yeah.
It's always the MS. Everything is the MS now, whether it's the MS or not.
Yeah. 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 And then the dark humor of nurses, we make fun of our own stuff.
Oh, like, for sure.
Like, you know, and
I mean, I probably have a brain tumor too, right? I mean,
right. Yeah, exactly. Because that's what we do. It's a normal joke to be like, I have a sinus infection, but by tomorrow or the next day, it's definitely going to be terminal cancer. So just give it time.
For sure. And that's just how we are. I mean, that's how we cope with being nurses.
Yes, exactly. And all of the trauma and the drama that comes along with that. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And how have you been coping and caring, and you know, what's your pressure,
Alexa?
yeah, a whole lot of that.
So Alexa, it's been real good.
Yeah.
I've been on it anyways, just because I just had like the worst postpartum rage of my life after Owen, which, you know, he was my COVID baby. I had him in December of 2020. So you know, like 6 months later, I just had the absolute worst rage that I couldn't control, and was just angry all the time. So we started some Celexa, and it's been amazing.
Yes.
And then with my diagnosis, I had to increase it a little bit, just because it's,
yeah,
you know, the anxiety is just.
Are you adding any kind of joy in your life at all? Like, are you able to like zoom in on the kids or like music or those things?
The biggest unexpected blessing out of all of this is, you know, before all of this, I constantly said, man, I wish I could be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I wish that I didn't have to work. I love being a nurse. I love taking care of people, but I wish I didn't have to do this all the time for a living. Mm-hmm. And especially after COVID, good God, all of us were ready to quit at that point. I mean, and it's probably still not.
It's fabulous. It's not all the way fixed.
Our healthcare system is so messed up, and that's just a whole nother thing. But, and nurses just get.
Yeah. The worst, you know, poop rolls beat downhill.
Up and spit on and treated like junk. And, oh, but we appreciate you so much. Here's a piece of candy.
Yeah.
Or here's some pizza.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. But anyways, the biggest blessing has been being able to stay home with my kids. Yes, I am on long-term disability, which is a whole nother pride issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that mom that's just on disability. But, you know, I've worked my ass off.
Yeah.
Being a nurse, too. And I work my ass off being a mom. So, and I like being able to be home. And I was already home, you know, with my kids during the week. But I was working weekends. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, it was
every weekend since my kids were born. And Macy turned 5 this week. So for the last 5 years, or I guess 4 years, because I haven't worked in last year. But, you know, the last 4 years prior to this was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every single weekend I worked.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie and I never had a day off together unless one of us took off work. And, so that was hard. I mean, and on Fridays, my mom would always watch our kids so I could work. And things were good. I mean, we made good money, both of us. And so, you know, money, you know, financial piece of that was that we made good money and things were good.
Yeah.
We were in more debt at the time. And so things were still stressful, but I mean, as far as my bank account looked real happy at the time.
Yeah.
And, but I would rather be home with my kids.
Yeah. And I mean,
like I love patients and I love taking care of them, but my kids are who I want to take care of
first and foremost. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean,
and so
it's hard to, when you look at like that long-term disability, I know I had to take it when I was pregnant with Jordan. I had to take short-term disability.
Yep.
And there's something about that that just kind of makes us go, but we've worked to earn those benefits. Like that's, right. You know, and it's like, right. I worked.
There's that nurse guilt that they have like ingrained into us that our life's work is to take care of other people and not our families. And that's our,
ourselves. See, you didn't even mention yourself,
especially not ourselves, yes. But not our families either. And that the rest of society comes before us. And that's just society norms is, you know, women working and climbing that ladder and breaking that glass ceiling, that's your life's work, not to send them to daycare, send them to school, do all that so that you can work more, so that you can help society more.
Right.
And I don't believe that. Like, I never thought I'd want to be a stay-at-home mom before I had kids, but once you have kids, that your heart, just everything changes.
Absolutely.
And everything is, you know, your kids are everything at that point.
Yep.
And so now I'm to the point where I'm like, yes, I love my patients. I love taking care of people, but screw society's norms. I want to take care of my family.
Exactly. And I think that people, you know, need to understand that companies, corporations, people that are hiring and managing people who have little people, that those little people are little. My son just graduated from high school yesterday.
I know.
And he was a little person the day before. Like, I don't know where it, like, where did it go? Like, and so, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it changes everything. Cause I never thought I would want to be a stay-at-home mom and I wasn't, but I worked nights so that I could be here with them. And you know, and present and at all the school things and at all the sports things and at all the whatever. And as much as humanly possible while still being a single mom with, you know, no additional financial support. So it's like they have to eat, like there is that part of it. But I mean, my children always knew, and I always worked places where they understood if my child calls, this gets dropped. Mm-hmm. Like literally.
They're number one.
They are 100%. Yep. 100% of the time. And I don't care if it's that my daughter just needs a new pair of sweats or, you know, whatever. I'm stopping what I'm doing and I'm taking her what she needs and then I will come back to work. But I'm, you know.
Right.
And I mean,
work is not number one priority.
Nope. It's just because at the end of the day, that could be gone. And I mean, I think
they'd replace you in a heartbeat.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like 30 minutes later, they're over it and hiring somebody else. Yep. Whereas that is not the case for your children. The impact of your absence is not going to be repaired in 30 minutes, you know?
Right. Right.
And so I think it's a huge thing. And I just I respect and just love, you know, like you and Rachel and, you know, Kelly, people that have littles that are like, they are the priority. And I'm like, 100%, we have to do whatever it takes to make this work so that you understand that we understand that they are your priority.
Right. And we're not going to continue to be bullied by the system that we've been bullied by the whole time that we've been nurses.
Right. Like it's not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. And and I think if they change that, then, well, you know, again, we've said this on here a million and a half times. The whole system needs to be burned to the ground and rebuilt because it's a sick care system. It's not a healthcare system. And if you don't fit into the box of the differential diagnoses, even just in what you've said, it didn't look traditionally differentially. So we have to run 75,000 more tests because we're not convinced, you know, and it's like, it's just, you know, it doesn't promote health prevention, you know, that kind of thing. It's
right. No, it doesn't.
If it was a healthcare system, we would have an emphasis and it would be incentivized to prevent care, not to prevent illness, not to treat illness once it arrives. So
But I mean, and then that's a whole nother thing too, is, you know, we're so like, I don't want to be told what to do, our society as a whole, that that's the problem. Because people don't want to be told what they should do to take care of themselves. They want to do what they want to do and then deal with the consequences later.
Yeah.
Why we're where we're at.
Exactly. And feel like the consequences will never affect them somehow. Like their pancreas is not going to choke out when, you know what I mean? When they're pouring 17 times the recommended daily sugar allotment into them, you know, like it's.
Right.
It's that kind of thing. It's, you know, it is what it is. So
it's, we're just so centered around control that.
And it's an illusion, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a total illusion. That's the one thing I learned in hospice. I'm like, look, people, we're lucky if we can control our own bladder, and that goes after a while too. So.
Oh, that's part of MS too. So there you go.
There. Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Being a mom, delivering a child. You lose that anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We did talk about that on the pelvic floor. When I talked about pelvic floor, that in the UK, when you birth a baby, you immediately get pelvic floor rehab. Like, here's your child, and you'll be getting a call from the therapist to do pelvic floor rehab. Yeah. You get 12 visits, whether you ask for it or don't. And it's like, and then no one in America has heard of it.
Right, I know. Do you follow the what the heck is her name? Oh gosh, I can't remember anything right now.
It's okay.
Hang on a second. Let me look at Instagram.
Yep. This is the beauty of
the editing. Vagina Whisperer.
The vagina Whisperer. I do not, but I'm going to now.
Yes. She is a pelvic floor PT, and actually my OB nurse practitioner turned me on to her when I was pregnant with Owen, because I was like, I feel like my uterus is going to fall out of my vagina the whole time I was pregnant with Owen, because everything was so low.
Yeah.
And she was like, I promise it's not, but we can do some pelvic floor PT when you're done. But again, it's an optional thing. It wasn't like a let's do this, like let me get you. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, so. For sure.
The Vagina Whisperer. She's awesome.
I'm going to have to check. I will be checking that out. So we will shift now. What are you listening to? Music, books, movies?
Oh, gosh. I listen to whining 5 and 2-year-old all day. So I don't have, I have never been one to like super get into shows or anything like that. And now that I'm not driving around seeing patients, I don't listen to a whole lot. So it's mostly just the kids, whatever they want to listen to. And that is like the Trolls soundtrack.
Oh, a whole bunch of, Timberlake then. Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. That and, you know, whatever they're really into Trolls. They love Bluey. They love, Spider-Man is the newest thing. So we've been watching the little like animated Spidey and Friends thing. So
that's great times. That is great times. Anything that you want to tell anybody before we head out? Anything that you want people to know?
I guess that, I mean, I see a lot of people post that have MS that they get a lot of flack from people because, you know, it's one of those like hidden illnesses. People can't see that there's anything physically wrong with you. I have never come across that. Now that I say it, I might. But I also have the attitude that I'm like, it's none of your damn business.
Yeah. Whatever you think is none of my business either. So like, think whatever you want, like
think whatever you want. I somehow got blessed with the attitude of, I do not care what other people think.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. And I don't know at what point I stopped caring what other people think, but it's been like the biggest blessing because literally people, and maybe it's my face, but people don't often try to tell me that they don't like what I'm doing. So I might just have that kind of RBF anyways. People don't really approach me that way.
Yeah.
But if they did, I wouldn't care anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only had a few patients in my entire time as a nurse that said like that they didn't like my tattoos or something. Right. I'm like, well, I mean, it's a good thing I didn't get them for you.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I'm sorry you don't like them. Yeah. I like them. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I got that attitude because my mom, bless her heart, worries about what people think all the time.
Maybe
and
that's
not
why.
In a way that you not like a,
not in a narcissistic way, just
no,
in a,
and not in a like vain way. Like she's worried about what people think that she looks like, but she's always worried about what other people think about her character and stuff because she's very, very all about, you know, making sure that her character is in alignment with all these things. And that's great. It's perfect. And I'm that way too. I don't care what people think though. That's the difference is like, if somebody thinks that I am, I don't know, a bad nurse or something, fine. You can think that all you want to. I know that I take good care of my patients.
Exactly. And I think that's the key is it's like, I care that my, you know, cursey nursey attitude, I care that I show what I value, which is kindness and empathy and understanding and learning and all of those things. And you and I've worked together long, you know, we worked together long enough that I feel like, you know, how that, you know, that it comes across, but I also am very well versed and understand that as much as I could show that to some people, they don't have the capacity to receive that.
Uh-huh. They don't and that's have, okay.
And it's okay. And so they're going to not see it and they're not going to get it. And they're going to think that I'm something else. And I'm fine with that. Go ahead. Because
that's not your responsibility.
No. Truth sits on a shelf, you know.
Exactly.
And knowing
whether people see it or not.
That's it. It sits right up there. So you can say what you want to. And that's where I think that whole knowing the truth sets you free. It's not the truth that sets you free. It's when you know it that it sets you free. And it's like, So yeah, we've always kind of been on that. Like, I don't really care. Yeah. You can think what you would like. Feel free.
Right. I'm not that nurse that's like, oh my gosh, they said that I was horrible. You know, I've never had a patient tell me I was horrible.
No.
Quite the contrary. But, you know, and I usually get along with the little crotchety old people that
nobody
hate
else.
Everyone else.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just, you can't worry about what other people think. Like if you want to survive and thrive happy life, no matter what your situation is, if you are constantly worried about what other people think and not believing your own truths and knowing your own truths, you're never going to be happy.
No, never.
And you just got to get to that point where you're just like, I don't care. And just truly not care.
Yeah.
And so I hope I teach my daughter and my son that, because that would be like,
the biggest
the most
gift.
Important thing ever.
Well, I think, you know, I always have that theory that children don't learn by what you tell them. They learn by you live and you let them watch, they see.
Right.
And so it's that example of like, I'm going to stand in this and move forward and through things. Yeah. So I think they'll probably get it. You know, you never know.
So they'll see it anyways. They'll see their mom does not give a crap what other people think.
Exactly. Oh, really? That's nice of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing this and taking some of your energy and time out to do it. I really appreciate it. I hope it helps people learn a little something and gives them a rabbit hole to go down, because it's not ever what you'd expect.
No, of course not. I mean, you don't expect to just have your foot and legs and everything else go numb. You're just like, oh my gosh. Okay, well.
That's new.
That's not what I was planning to do on this Saturday.
Not at all. No. And then it take 3 months to get a diagnosis and X number of months later to get treatment and X number of, it's not fun. Yeah. So on that note, I will see y'all in the stacks next week. Again, I cannot thank you enough for taking some time out of your busy lives to listen to this week's chapter, engage with the show, social media accounts, and for all of your feedback. I appreciate your feedback so much. It helps me to find those chapters and stories that you guys actually want to hear. If you have just a moment, can you head over to Spotify and follow the show no matter where you're listening from? It would really help me out. And if you want to, you can check out my flow page. It is flow.page/notinthetextbooks. It has all the links to the social media accounts and where you can actually listen. If you want to be on the show or you want to nominate someone to be on the show, please email me at notinthetextbookspodcast@gmail.com. Just a quick reminder that we're not all getting straight A's in the stories of our lives, and some people are having harder chapters than you are. So take a minute, pause, think about it, be kind. And if you're struggling right now because your chapter's super hard, I'll be your cheerleader. I'm here for you. Reach out, get support, and get the help that you need. Keep going. And on that note, I'll see you in the stacks next week.